Two of the very large aircraft on Boeing Plaza during AirVenture 2018 were both flown in by the same person, Major Jessica Hodson, a KC-10 instructor pilot in the Air Force Reserve and an MD-11 pilot for United Parcel Service. Hi, Jessica.
Welcome,
Hi,
Jessica.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here.
So how was it that you came to fly both of these aircraft in? What a neat honor.
It was an honor, and I learned a very important lesson is always be nice to everybody because they find their way back into your life at some point in time. Dennis Dunbar is his title's Director of Operations right here at AirVenture, and he reached out to me about a year ago and said he was doing a Year of the Tanker. Would I be willing to fly in KC-10? And I was like, that sounds awesome. I've always wanted to go to Oshkosh. He didn't tell me everything that was going to entail, and he told me that about 4 months later that he was going to try and work, and I don't know if the idea came to him along the way, but bringing in the UPS plane and the KC-10 and the MD-11 next to each other and doing all that on Wednesday for Women Venture, but it was an honor, and it was awesome, and I blame him for all of this.
Was that the KC-10 that we see on Bowen Plaza from Travis Air Force Base?
Yes, that is, in fact, the one that we brought in Tuesday. It was awesome. We actually got to operate in an all-female crew when we landed on Tuesday, so that was a fun experience.
Great.
I haven't been able to fly. I called an unmanned flight before, so that was an honor.
Great.
What is a crew complement on a KC-10?
KC-10, you have you have two pilots up front. Whatever the dynamic may be, it could be a co-pilot all the way up to evaluator pilot, or it could be two evaluator pilots. You have a flight engineer, which is kind of a weird dynamic that we have in the KC-10. Not a lot of airplanes in the Air Force have engineers. Wonderful attribute, wonderful crew resource management together once you pull everyone together. And then also a boom operator who passes gas in the back.
Did you work through multiples of those positions, or did you step right into the left seat?
No, I was... Well, I started my Air Force career. I was lucky enough to be hired by the Air Force Reserves, so I was never active duty. I was what they call a reserve baby. I graduated aviation program at Indiana State and got hired by Grissom Air Force Air Reserve, and flew KC-135. So I started off as a co-pilot. I upgraded to aircraft commander, and at about that time, I had the opportunity to go out, and I always wanted to fly the KC-10. And I got an opportunity to go out and interview with them. And so they came in. They brought me in, actually. The gentleman that hired me, he was strong on believing that you set a core, and before you can lead, you must follow, right? So he wanted me to be a co-pilot in the KC-10 as well, even though I'd already been an aircraft commander on another airplane. He brought me in as the chief pilot. He brought me in as a co-pilot. Then I worked my way to aircraft commander. And then a couple years later, I became an instructor pilot. I'm not sure that I'll get to the ranks of evaluator pilot. It's a lot to swing with UPS and the reserves, but that's really the only thing left as far as pilot positions.
And how often do you get to fly the KC-10 today?
So I think there's kind of this misconception on Air Force Reservists as thinking that we only work on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
We have active duty airplanes that we share, or we share the airplanes with active duty, excuse me. So they have the airplanes, and we fly locals any day of the week, sometimes on weekends, sometimes not. And so I would say I probably spend on average about 4 or 5 days a month down at the Air Force Base to keep up with all the qualifications and currencies and just even, you know, computer-based training that the Air Force has, different things that they've instilled along the way. I get to fly, or I have to fly. In order to stay current, I have to fly once a month. I will fly at least once a month in the KC-10 and keep my currencies. Yeah. Sometimes I do twice a month.
And Jessica, I know that you have another life at UPS. So how are you able to manage both of those assignments and job responsibilities?
I'd be lying to you if I said it was easy. It requires a calendar because I've found that I manage to double book myself if I don't keep that straight. It's difficult going back and forth. I've been living, I was telling Mike on the way over here, I've been living in Sacramento since that's where I started and that's where I was for the Air Force. And I was commuting to Louisville, Kentucky to fly the MD-11. And after 3 years, it's just starting to take a little bit of a toll.
It wears on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially flying night cargo. And UPS has been wonderful in that they've optimized our schedules. So I used to do one long trip at UPS and I was done for the rest of the month, and that was awesome. Well, now it's been kind of like three reports. So I actually just purchased a home in Louisville, Kentucky to make life a little more simple on myself. I'll live in Louisville, and hopefully that'll make it a little bit easier because the goal is to only have to go to the Air Force Reserves once a month. If I can do that properly, then I'm only commuting once.
Sure.
So we'll see. Talk to me in a couple of years and see if I look much older or just a little bit older and see if it's working out for me.
You mentioned when we first started that this is your first time to EAA Oshkosh. Have you had a chance to see some things?
So, again, back to Dennis, and I'm blaming him. He's booked me on a lot of different things, and I've had the opportunity to do a lot of speaking engagements and different interviews. And I've been very, very busy, This was actually the first time, right before I met up with you, I was at the announcer stage and had about 40 minutes to walk around. So I walked around a little bit, but really all I've seen so far is driving in and out, and then the KC-10 and the MD-11 yesterday. So I'm hoping in the next day or two to be able to see a little bit more, walk around and see all the different exhibits. It's amazing, and the energy is so awesome. And it's also kind of difficult to get around. I'm not downing this, but it's also difficult to get from point A to point B in a direct line in a short distance in a short amount of time, because you have so many people that stop and want to talk to you. And that's awesome. I'm so happy to see and feel the enthusiasm and the energy that they have, and hopefully provide some motivation to them that they should really go out and chase what they want to chase.
So this is indicative of the situation that you're in. You're getting an awful lot of spotlights pointed at you right now. And one thing that we haven't talked about yet is that you're going to figure prominently in a recruitment or promotional video from Air Force Reserves, because you are kind of the story. I mean, you become kind of the story. In a few years, we might look back and say you've become iconic. That would be a little premature right now.
Let's not get too far.
Yeah, but you're kind of headed in that direction. So how does that feel? I mean, you are in a really special place when it comes to helping show young women a path.
Sure. It's amazing. It's flattering. It also reminds me to stay humble. And I also, to throw a little bit of plug in, and last night when I did the panel with Tammy Jo Scholz, the Southwest captain, she's very influential, and I was
so
really...
So this was at Theater in the Woods.
Correct.
Wednesday night, AirVenture 2018, just to kind of set the context. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so she reached out. We were trying to speak to Taylor, who's the UPS little prodigy that they have going out there. I don't know if you guys have seen her making... It's Wishes Delivered, I believe.
Oh.
So we were giving advice
made
to...
Made me cry.
Yeah.
Beautiful piece of video.
I don't cry very often, but I teared up, yeah. So we were giving advice to her, and what Tammy said was just... follow the Lord with all your heart, and He'll make your dreams come true, and what's meant to be, you'll be there. And so I really have just every day I go and do something, I say a prayer and say, these words are yours. Please put them out there, what people need to hear, and just really give and hope that he'll fuel through me and say the right thing. Because it is a little nerve-wracking to have so many eyes on you. And I just pray that I can get the words out there to shape the minds and hearts and souls of women aviators in the future. And hopefully they can have some hope that they can be out there and do all these amazing things as well. Because I'm only fortunate, and I'm lucky, and I give him all the glory.
So what do you tend to say to young women who are looking kind of down the road, seeing you, wondering how to get there?
I think one of the things that I have learned is it's not what you know, it's who you know. And so I think finding people who can move you upwards, or people that you can kind of learn information from and utilizing your resources is number one. And then also realizing it's not going to be easy, but it is going to be worth it. And when you look back behind you, it's so amazing. And I think I was so busy when I was learning how to fly the KC-135 and the KC-10 that I never looked behind me. I was only looking forward. And now that I've kind of checked off the goals of what I wanted to be and get to UPS, I still want to be a captain at an airline. So that's kind of the last professional goal. But now kind of looking behind me, it's kind of awesome to see what I've been through, what I've gone through, and then see people who want to have somebody pull them forward. So now it's the mentoring part of my career, and it's so awesome. I've enjoyed that so much. And I've had a lot of people give me good they've mentored me in a positive light, and I can only hope to be as positive as they've been for me.
We're talking with Major Jessica Hodson, who flew in both the KC-10 and the MD-11 on Boeing Plaza during AirVenture 2018.
I think the mentoring aspect of what we do is amazing. I'm a flight instructor during my normal day job. And, you know, we can teach people how to fly. Mm-hmm. But what we're really trying to do is to create a attitude of why we do this, why it's important. There are so many things that surround flying that are more than stick and rudder. I mean, the stick and rudder part is obviously important, but the mystique of flying and the passion that we have is something that we also have to mentor to people, to let people know this is an amazing career.
But you have to love it to see it through.
Yes.
Because it's very hard. And that's the other thing, too, is if you realize that you have the passion, nothing will stop you. And don't let anybody tell you no if you have the passion for it.
So do you talk to these girls about resilience as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's, I kind of laugh at something as my dad passed away when I was in pilot training, but I have to give him a lot of credit, because when we were kids, he always said, If I tell you no first, I won't disappoint you when I can tell you yes later. So I knew in my head no was coming, but I had to work to yes. So there was just this like bowling idea, not bowling, but this resilient idea of if I keep pushing, I'm going to get yes. And no one can tell me no because I'm going to get yes out of them eventually. And I think that's kind of what's allowed me to plow through to get to where I am. And I think you have to have that. You got to be willing to turn a no into a yes. And even another lady said last night, God's delays are not his denials. If you don't get something at that time, it's not because it's not meant to be. It's just not meant to be then. So keep pushing.
When did you start, Jessica? When did all this become a life for you?
I started gaining interest. My mother was a flight attendant when I was in middle school. So that's when I kind of became interested in aviation. I didn't think about it again until I always have had goals. My goal was when I was 16, I got a job so I could have a car because I wanted to have a car as soon as I was 16. Then it was graduate high school. And then it was like, well, now you got to think about college. And so I started to think about what I wanted to do. And so I chose Indiana State because my parents, again, back to the no thing, when I asked for help for financing college, it was no. I never got a yes for that one, though. I started my first flight lesson. I went for an aviation degree at Indiana State. My first flight lesson was actually on my brother's birthday, August 28th in 2002. So that's when it all began.
As a college freshman?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, that's been just not very long ago for you.
Yeah, well, I just dated myself. I said I was 18 in 2002, so 16 years ago, yeah.
Yes. But an amazing career you've had.
I've been very fortunate, again, yeah.
So I have to ask, which is it, KC-10 or MD-11?
What's the true love?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. I thought I liked airplanes when I flew the KC-10, but I love airplanes after flying the MD-11. She's mean sometimes. She's challenging. She keeps you honest. She keeps you in the books. She keeps you,
so they're more alike than different, you're saying?
They are pretty similar.
Except close to the ground, I would say.
Yeah. And that's, yep, exactly. And that's where I was going to go with it is, once you get above, 1500 feet or yeah, above 1500 feet, very similar. Below 1500 feet, night and day. It flies faster speeds. The MD-11 does. They took a DC-10 sort of, and they extended it. And then they shrunk, I don't know why, but they shrunk the horizontal stabilizer, which then makes you have to fly at faster speeds to get the controllability. And then they instituted I'll see if I can say this quick enough, it's like my tongue twister of the week, is a longitudinal stability augmentation system. So it fights certain tendencies because it's such a longer airplane. And so coming in for the flare and coming into land, it's a lot different the way that it handles. I think that the KC-10 is more stable in the landing phase and the takeoff phase than the MD-11. I have enjoyed flying the KC-10 doing the stuff above 1,500 feet, doing the air refueling, doing the tanker mission, doing that kind of stuff, dragging fighters across. That's a lot of fun. But I wouldn't say I'm as challenged below 1,500 feet landing and taking off as I am in the MD-11.
That's Major Jessica Hudson, a pilot of the KC-10 and the MD-11, both on Boeing Plaza this year at AirVenture 2018. For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.